We know scientists say that one solution to global warming is to cut carbon emissions by using energy more efficiently and, wherever possible, to replace fossil fuels with renewables like wind, solar, and hydropower. But producing renewable energy can come with its own costs, as we're reminded when reporter Dan Grossman travels to an indigenous community in Panama.
Our story begins in Quiad, a village in western Panama. This is where the indigenous Nove Bugale adherents of the Mama Tata religion gather every year to worship and to pass on their myths and traditions. Manola Miranda is getting this tiny town of several dozen people ready to put up and feed a couple hundred pilgrims. He's digging post holes for rough-hewn logs to hold up a rustic pavilion where travelers can stay cool, and if it rains, dry.
We're on the eve of the celebration of our ancestors and the markings they left on stones as a symbol of our people.
The markings that he's talking about are centuries-old petroglyphs that are the sacred texts of Mama Tata, a blend of Christian and native beliefs that originated in the 1960s when an indigenous woman experienced a vision of the Virgin Mary. Many of the 250,000 Nove Bugle who live in this Delaware-sized territory in Panama's Chiriquí province practice it. The most cherished carvings are drawings etched into haystack-sized boulders midstream in the Tabasará River, close to where I'm standing. But this year, visitors who come here won't see the cryptic stick figures. For the first time that anyone here knows, the river has risen dramatically, submerging the religious symbols below several feet of murky water.
How could I talk about that with younger generations if I can no longer tell them, here it is, when we have a project that has erased our history, our existence?
The project is a new 20-story-high hydroelectric dam named Barro Blanco that backed up the river. Bulu Bagama paddles a dugout canoe. He's showing me his former farm. It now sits right below the boat.
Now let's go in the direction of where my house was. It's now underwater. My God, may he help me.
You used to be able to cross the Tasabar River here easily, skipping rock to rock across rapids. Now it looks like a lake. Leafless crowns of newly drowned trees poke through its surface. Bulu Bagama uses the bleached branches as landmarks for this tour.
All of that is orange trees. See? All those dried trees are orange trees. All of this here was a big farm. A banana farm. 1,500 banana trees that occupied this land.
The private owner of the dam purchased land immediately around the project, but not any of this indigenous territory. It wasn't for sale. The Nove Bugle weren't asked and never agreed to let their land be flooded. In 2014, a UN human rights official warned Panama not to let the dam flood indigenous land. The company said that the impact of the project would be minimal and that nobody would have to move. But several dozen people were displaced. At an encampment within sight of the dam, several dozen Nove Bugle people, dressed in colorful traditional handmade clothing, hold a permanent protest rally.
¿Qué pide el pueblo? ¿Qué pide el pueblo?
What do the people want? Chants Clementina Perez Jimenez, one of their fiery leaders. Remove Barro Blanco, they yell back. The tribe opposed Barro Blanco from the day it was proposed in 2007. They blockaded the Pan-American Highway, which passes nearby, and at times clashed violently with police. But the company prevailed.
The protests, supposedly by the Noves, are actually are not by the Noves, are by other interests who use the Noves to show protest.
Eduardo Vallarino, president of the Panamanian Association of Renewable Energy Producers, says indigenous opposition is a smokescreen for oil and natural gas producers trying to quash the competition. The petroglyphs are a red herring, says Vajarino. Dig them up and move them away, he says.
They can be taken out and conserved. That's no problem. So they're looking at everything they can in order to stop things.
And Vajarino insists that the amount of indigenous shoreline that's been flooded is trivial. But Osvaldo Jordan, a human rights activist in Panama City who's advising the Nove Buglé, says it's not the quantity of indigenous land destroyed that's the issue.
What about if I tell you I'm going to clip one of your fingers?
That's what destroying even a little bit of native territory feels like to them, says Jordan. He says the company and country of Panama, which licensed the dam, violated international law requiring that indigenous groups be permitted free, prior, and informed consent. The Nove Buglé never agreed to let their territory be flooded, he says.
It is the equivalent that you own your house and this company comes, it floods part of your property without your consent or without, you know, you reaching an agreement.
Not long ago, two European banks that invested in the dam tried to calm things down. They sent representatives to Kiad and two other affected villages who asked the Nove Buglé audience to look forward. But the indigenous people just want their land back. They're asking international groups, including the Organization of American States, to pressure Panama to return water in their territory to its natural level. For Here and Now, I'm Daniel Grossman, reporting from Kiad, Panama.
And Dan's story was funded in part by the Pulitzer Center on Crisis Reporting.